Now we're going to read in 1 Peter, please, just two verses here in 1 Peter and chapter 1. Thank you very much for being here tonight. Some have been here for the full day. Others maybe just have joined us, I'm not sure, but it's good to be here and good to have you here. And we trust that God will bless His Word to our hearts tonight. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain or empty conversation, your empty manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot. Now God will bless the reading of His Word. Redemption is a wonderful subject in the Word of God. It is really another word for salvation, with the emphasis on freedom. Behind the meaning of the word is the idea of the price, the ransom price that needs to be paid in order for freedom to be enjoyed. I was reading about Mr. Cano of San Diego. He was president of Sanyo Video Components. He and a few cheerleaders of his were going across. They had gone across the border into Mexico, into the city of Tijuana, where his company team was playing a game of baseball. And on their way home, he driving in his 95 Cadillac, and two of his cheerleaders in the back seat, driving along a remote section of road in Mexico. A Cherokee Jeep comes from one side, a small sedan from another, at this remote intersection, blocks his path, and men get out of these vehicles with guns in their hands, order this man into the back seat of the Cherokee, and the two cheerleaders blindfolded their eyes and drove off to some remote location. A couple of hours later, the two cheerleaders were released. But not Mr. Cano. The price demanded for Mr. Cano's freedom was $2.7 million. That, you see, was the ransom price. That was the price demanded by the captors in order for him to be released. What was the price? This is a question for you. You can answer in your own mind. What was the price necessary for sinners to be set free from their sins? What was the price demanded for an individual to walk and to enjoy God and to live in freedom from sin? Well, we have read what I've called seven golden words. Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Now, aren't they good words? Redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And if you are going to be in heaven, if you have any intention on being in heaven, there's only one way that you are going to be there. And I just want to give a very short, quick message. But I want you to understand this, that there's only one way, and you will have to be redeemed through the precious blood of Christ. Now some, you know, they have accused us of preaching a bloody gospel. And yet, I do need to remind you that if there were no blood, if the Lord Jesus had not died upon the cross, if there were no nails driven into His hands and feet, there would really be no gospel to preach. I mean, you can go to hundreds of different places in the city or in the greater Toronto area tonight or tomorrow, and you can have maybe even the Word of God opened up. I don't know, but you can listen to messages and you may find many ways in which they will tell you to get to heaven. But the way that the Word of God tells us, God's way, is through His Son. And it's the precious blood of Christ. And isn't it wonderful that we are able to tell, even today? I mean, the Lord Jesus died almost 2,000 years ago, and still in 2009 now we're still preaching about the blood of Christ. And I hope we never stop, because it is the only way by which sinners can be cleansed of their sin and freed from their sin. Now, very quickly, I don't know, I suppose I just have 10 minutes, maybe 12. And I'm going to give you 5 things about the blood of Christ. So I'm going to be quick. You know, this is a subject that delights the heart of every believer. So if you're a Christian here tonight, then you will love this message on the blood of Christ. If you're not saved, I hope you listen with all ears, because this message is for you. Because as I said at the start, if you ever intend on being in heaven, there's only one way, and it's the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, first of all, it tells us of a cruel death. You know, the death of the Lord Jesus was not some quick, easy, clean, hidden death whereby it just happened in a matter of moments. And no, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was a very cruel and a very gruesome and a very bloody death. It was a terrible, it was a horrific death. It was the death of crucifixion, mind you. He chose that death. And that's interesting just to think about in itself. The Lord Jesus chose the way. He chose where He would die. He chose when He would die. He chose how He would die. And this was the death. But you know, from the cords that bound His hands in the Garden of Gethsemane, to the crown of thorns that were beaten into His brow, to the scourging post where His back was lacerated by those Roman lictors who were skilled at using those scourges, to the driving of nails into His tender hands and feet, to the bones that were pulled out of their sockets. There's no getting around it. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was a very cruel death. You know, I remember as a boy, and much different than our brother's testimony, but I was raised in a Christian home, son of a gospel preacher. I mean, I figured at age, in grade 3, I had all the answers to just about everything. And I remember my friend and I, Brad Anderson, still pray for Brad. He's still not saved. You know, we were walking along on our way to school, and I was expounding on the death of Christ. And I was talking about how He died there on the cross, and how they nailed Him. And you know how they drove the nails into His hands and feet, and He never felt a thing because He was the Son of God. Well, that was my impression at age, 9? Let me tell you, He was the Son of God. I got that part right. But He felt the nails. He was a real man. And it was real suffering. And as I consider the blood of Christ, John was there, the apostle, he saw it. And he saw even that last act, I don't know, some call it a last act of hatred. Anyway, when that spear was taken and driven into the side of the Lord Jesus, the blood and water, it flowed. And the blood of Christ, yes, it tells of a cruel death. Something else that the blood of Christ does, it speaks of a costly salvation. Yes, a costly salvation. You know, it actually takes us right back to the beginning, where the Scripture states God's requirement that it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. And again in Hebrews 9, where we read, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness, no remission of sins. Now this, you must get straight. Above everything else, you must understand tonight that sin is a terrible thing in the eyes of God.
so serious and so hateful to a thrice holy God that it demanded a sacrifice. It wasn't that God could just say, you know, that little Johnny, that little Mary, that little, you know, she's so nice and she does such good things and, you know, he's not that bad of a person. We'll just let him slip into heaven. That can't happen. If sin is going to be dealt with fully and finally and righteously, then blood must be shed. You know, it's true that you read through the Old Testament, right from Genesis to Malachi, and what they tell us is true, that rivers of blood flowed on Jewish altars. Cows and sheep and goats and birds and animals were slain on these altars and blood flowed. What was it all about? Why was there so much blood? Well, you see, it all pointed forward to the one final sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. They were all pictures with fingers pointing forward to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds us, the blood of Christ, yes, it speaks of a costly salvation. It required His life. If your sin is going to be dealt with, if your sin is going to be taken away, then He would have to die. Thirdly, I like this one because it tells us something very important about the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, it satisfies all the claims of God against our sin. You know, sometimes we call it the death of Christ a sin atoning death. The work of Christ, this simply means that the work of Christ fully and eternally satisfied every single claim of God. And I speak very reverently, but the physical sufferings, the nails that were driven into His hands and feet were just a minute amount of the suffering that He endured at the cross. Yes, He suffered cruelly at the hands of men. And emotionally, physically, and mentally, and as they wagged their heads, and as they taunted Him, and as they spoke unkindly to Him, and all of the rest. But the sufferings of the cross go far, far deeper than what man did to Him. The Lord Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours. 3 hours. With the sun beating upon Him. No wonder He could say, "My tongue cleaveth to my jaw." And yet, 3 hours of sun and 3 hours of intense, total, complete, utter darkness. What was taking place? The Lord Jesus Christ was dealing with our problem of sin. The Lord Jesus was there upon the cross as the substitute in the place of the sinner, taking my place. You know, it was a wonderful night for me on June 27th, 1981. I was 14 years of age. And kind of ties in with my subject because I was reading. My mom was sitting there beside me, and she got me to read 1 John 1 and 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I understood that night that He loved me, and He died for me. That it was my sin. I was going around all suit buttoned up and tie nice and tight and all the rest and chin up in the air and thinking I was better than my friends at school. I didn't swear and I didn't go where they went and I didn't do some of the things they did. And here I am going around like a self-righteous Pharisee thinking I'm better than. That night I understood, "Oh, Brian, you, if you got what you deserve, you would be down in hell. But Jesus, He died for me." And I've never gotten over the wonder of that truth, that He died for me. You know, to think that He would love me enough to die
Can you imagine?
You know, I really do believe this, that if it were possible that I was the only one on earth, that he would still have gone to the cross. That he would still have suffered. That he would still have wanted me in heaven because he loved me enough. You know the blood of Christ from the verse that I read, just quoted to you, 1 John 1:7? The blood of Christ is the only means of cleansing from sin. The only means of cleansing. People are trying all sorts of things to be cleansed of their sin and to rid their conscience of guilt and to try to cozy up to God and make themselves presentable and suitable with God. Probably you didn't come to hear this tonight, but I'm going to say it. In the eyes of God, you are dirty. You are filthy. Your sin has made your heart black. And before God, you are a sinner and you need to be cleansed of your sin. And we have come with the greatest news that could possibly be given, that the blood of Christ, we even sang about it, what can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing. Now, I grew up, I'm not that old, but I grew up in Red Bay, and they didn't have running water either. Who was telling us today about no running water? Somebody mentioned it somewhere in the messages, but I had no running water, and I remember I left Red Bay actually when I was around 8 years of age, but I went back to do a year of junior high, and I stayed with a family. There was five boys, and I was with this family for that year. And our job every day was to go down to the well. We had our two buckets and our hoop, and we would go down. We would drop water into the well and pull it up, careful of all the ice that was around that we wouldn't slip in, and fill our 2 5-gallon buckets, head back to the house and dump them into the barrel there. And I'd do that about twice a day, and the others did it as well. I remember the weekly ritual at that house, the Ryan house, was to get a bath. You know, we get a bath now every day pretty well without even thinking of it. Jump in the shower and nothing to it. Well, as I remember it, the object of the game was to try to be the first in line for that bath. Because the big pot was boiling on the stove. That was there getting hot, and the cold water was put in first from the barrels and dumped in, and then the hot water was added just to kind of get it up to temperature a little bit. But let me tell you, if you're the fourth or fifth one in line, it's pretty dirty. I don't know if we got cleaned or if we just sloshed around in dirty water or not. But you see, we all know the value of being clean physically. Oh, friend, tonight, you need to be clean spiritually. You need to be clean before God. You need to be clean if you're ever going to be in heaven. If you're ever going to be fit for heaven. You see, we're fit for heaven not because of our own doing, but because of what Christ has done at the cross. Now, I don't have time to do my last one, but you know, the last point here is that the blood of Christ provides complete security. You all know the story back in Exodus chapter 12 of the firstborn inside and the blood applied on the door. Well, that boy in there, he could enjoy complete and perfect security because he had the Word of God for it. You know, we have the Word of God for it too. We're going to be in heaven because God's Word says, redeemed with the precious blood of Christ.